Hello and welcome to Nat One Presents Daft Monks. Hey, Nate.
Hey, hey.
The new title's still, it's getting me, you know? It's the start of season two. I just got to get in the flow of things.
We just got to switch it up. Just real fast, if you're brand new to the show, welcome. We weren't always called Daft Monks. We're Nat One Presents, and before we just called it The Podcast. But we got a little interesting. We're going to talk all season about our favorite characters, the D-Hunters or the Daft Monks. So that's where the name comes from. And if you're a current listener, out with the old and in with the new. Daft Monks it is.
Welcome back.
And welcome back to you, Nate. New year. I haven't seen you in weeks.
I know. It's been a long time since you've been quarantined and isolated. And, you know, I didn't even get to see your tattoo in person. I'm really upset about that.
It has been brutal, fucking Nate. Like, I'm hating 2022 already. I already hate it. Like, this is the episode normally, guys. Like, Nate is the kind of ranty, like, this really grinds my gears guy, but like, I'm super angry this month. I don't know what it is. It's my time of the year apparently or whatever. But I am super grumpy. I had like COVID, loss in the family, military service. I'm just like, I'm over it, man. It's not been my favorite year, but at least we got the podcast going.
That's true. We got it. Even though we're far away, we still got it.
That's right. Big deal for us. We used to record in person. If you're a new listener, Nate and I used to flip my bedroom into a makeshift studio once a week. We just literally threw the mattress up against the wall, pulled in my kitchen table, and then threw some mics on there. It was wild.
It was a good time.
Yeah. New year, new-ish / same shitty show. But the great thing about recording remotely now, you know, Nate and I were always like talking over each other on, and we were kind of like being heard on each other's mic. So pretty excited that we can like actually edit this podcast now. I can like separate when we talk over each other excitedly, or just like make things audible, or cut out the long rants that I go on.
But I'm gonna miss that in person, you know?
Yeah,
just sitting there
zoning out,
yeah, watching you just rant on and on, and I'm just thinking to myself, man, I gotta spice this up.
I gotta break into this conversation somehow, this one way conversation. So I just have a lot to complain about, Nate. So hopefully you can bring some kind of positivity in the world here. Anything new and exciting going on for 2022?
I'm getting a new job.
Whoa, that is pretty new and exciting.
Yeah. We're moving back to Nevada, you know, closer to grandma and babysitters. It's the right thing to do right now.
You're so choosing to. It's not like you're, yeah, like you have no options, like you lost your job. Like you're just moving back to be closer to family, right? So that,
yeah, pretty that much. Sounds, yeah,
that sounds great. I'm sure your whole family is excited. And grandma, I'm sure the kids, that'll be everybody, and hopefully you will be happy about it.
Oh yeah, mom won't shut the fuck up about it. As soon as I said something, she's like, I already cleaned out the back room, you come on over. I'm like, I haven't even interviewed yet. Like, well, too bad, I already put a placard with your name on the front door. I'm like, oh my god,
wow.
Yeah, she's excited, she's pumped. No, she didn't do any, she cleaned out the back rooms.
But it's like you have the same name too, so.
Oh, no, we have different names. We have different names.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, that would just be redundant then.
No, it's like going to be Stallcut plus Hildebrand now on the door. Oh,
right. Okay. That's fair. Well, cool. That is exciting. I'm glad you have some good news to share. Hopefully moving is, I think, never, ever, ever fun. So hopefully.
No, I don't know what kind of psycho is like, you know what I can't wait to do is pack up my whole house and move that somewhere else.
Whoever says that to you, punch him in the face and call him a liar, because that's literally not true at all. Nobody enjoys it. Are you guys able to like hire movers, or are you going to have to load that shit yourself?
We did manage to secure some kind of financial
good
bonus to help with the move.
It's so much better if you can like pay somebody to move you.
Yes,
because it's just like moving isn't just the process of the day you put stuff in a truck and then like you take it out. It's like all the packing beforehand, the weeks afterwards, of the boxes sitting everywhere. Like, it's a much longer process. So if you can speed that up in any way, I'm sure it's worth it.
Because another guy paid to have his whole house moved. He got another job somewhere else. I know you're from that side of the world. It's Fisher's Island, I think it's called. He got a job over there.
Okay.
And take a wild guess how much it was to pack up his house and move it to Fisher's Island.
I mean, that had to be thousands. like
15.
Okay, I wouldn't. I would have guessed like 8, 9, maybe. Right. To like, because that's a big distance.
And then to go on a ferry over to an island, like I guess that just shoots the price way up. Inflation. Yeah,
that's fair.
Cost of boat fuel. You know, nobody has sailboats anymore. Boat fuel's going up through the roof, you know?
It's the only one who has something to say about boat fuel or any kind of fuel at any time. Any resource, he has a feel, an opinion about it.
Like Alaska, which is rich in oil and timber, you know?
Oh, God. If you don't get that joke, go back and listen to all of season one. You won't have to go many episodes before you'll pick up on
that. Run into Robot Jacks.
Yep. Well, that's great news. I'm going to go ahead and hijack this conversation now and say, I'm glad you started the year great because it has not been so great for me. Well, with the exception of getting my tattoo. But basically, I have embraced a life of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a criminal now. It's a big deal. Basically, I've been working on this half sleeve. You probably heard about it in the first season, right? I was about to give up. I tried all these artists. I talked a bunch of shit about local artists that I didn't like, who didn't get my master vision. But I finally got that figured out. So I got this badass half sleeve. And then I got remedial school training for breaking the law.
Ooh, what law did you break? Are you allowed to say?
It was a traffic violation.
You're such a bad boy.
I'm such a bad boy. I ran a red light. Now, to me, that sounds like not a big deal. Or before my rehabilitation, I would have thought running a red light would have just got you a ticket and a couple points on your driver's license, which it does also do that. But I guess Arizona has so many collisions and deaths from just red lights. It's like running a red light. So there are three things that will get you traffic school in Arizona, I learned. One, DUI.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Two, more than 8 points on your driver's license. Okay. Which running a red light is about, I think, three points or maybe four.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Number three is running a red light itself, just because I guess we have the state has such a bad record. So, Nate, I kid you not, there was 15 people in this class. At least, this is not an exaggeration, 7 to 8 had DUIs, some multiple DUIs in that class. The kid in front of me was doing donuts in the parking lot, which, I mean, awesome, hats off to you. But then there's just me and this little old lady who ran a red light just sitting in this classroom. And I'm like, I don't feel like I belong here, Nate.
Ooh, definitely not that old lady.
Like I know we're all lawbreakers here, but I feel like one of these things is not like the other. Like this is your fourth DUI.
Old lady.
And I was 0.5 seconds from being over the invisible curb line for...
Right. It was the new half sleeve. They took one look at you and just labeled you.
They're profiling me, Nate.
Yes.
They're profiling me. It's unbelievable. They're
like, this guy broke the law and he's probably going to do it again.
So listen, I was going into it of like, you know what? It had been a while. I could use a refresher on some traffic training. I'm like, I was being humble about it first. Of like, all right, yeah. Like, I'm going to learn some rules, like some laws. Okay. Nate, this mandatory 8.5 hour class was the most hippie fucking thing I have ever been. And Nate, like any listener on the show who has listened before knows that like I'm the liberal one by a lot. Okay. Oh, yeah. And Nate's the angry conservative. Well, yes. I was channeling like all of my angry conservative energy because I'm like, this is such ridiculous, like feeling frou-frou bullshit. Like I could not believe the first 4 hours, Nate, was about, they said psychology. But it was really just like, I want you to be the judge, Nate.
Yeah,
so read some to me. The first section, I made sense, okay? It was like, they're like right off the bat, like, what did you do? And who's important to you? And then they try to like guilt you with the like, and how did that affect the person you love? And I'm like, well, I ran a red light. They literally didn't even know about it. I didn't even tell them. I didn't get a ticket for like a month later, and then I paid it. And it literally out of a separate bank account, like they literally had no idea. So it didn't affect them. Then they go into like, what would have happened if you lost that person? I'm like, I just ran a red light again. Like the DUI guy maybe needs to like sit back and like think about this. But like, I didn't kill anybody. All right. Immediately defensive. Then it goes into Nate. The 5 basic human needs that we are all born with. Could you tell me, guess, give me just like a quick guess, one or two of them.
Food.
Okay. Nope.
Air.
Oh, no. Sorry, Nate, you've been very misinformed. It's power recognition, freedom, independence, fun, enjoyment. These are like two-parters. Love and belonging, and survival. These are the five human needs. Yeah.
Well, obviously, China didn't get the news flash because I'm pretty sure they don't have freedom or love over there. So
to help illustrate these, Nate, here's some stock photos of a woman with a megaphone.
Oh, yeah.
A person, like people on bikes, which I don't even know what it has to do with driving.
You could have hit them running in the red light. The woman with the megaphone, Nate, you could have hit her running a red light.
I wanted to hit the course instructor. This was blowing my mind. Nate, and then get this. They show a video for each one of those, and it's all like stock photos is one thing. Like I've even used like stock photos. But for each video, they showed just stock video footage. So for fun, it was like a hot air balloon into a speedboat and I'm like, what the fuck? And then like freedom was like someone on top of the mountain, like with their hands up. And I'm like, what does this have? Nate, 4 hours later is finally after the lunch break is when we started learning laws. And then she's like, I have to get through this. Like, we just have to go over this part. I'm like, this is the part that I should be here for. Like the actual laws, like just tell me what to do to not be here again. Why are we here? We had to, oh my goodness. It was so bad.
Do you think it was like the subliminal like messaging, like trying to like flash into your brain, like bald eagle, freedom, don't run red light?
It was bananas, Nate. Like, I don't know if you're like a big DC like person, but there's like in the DC universe, there's Granny Goodness who works for Darkseid. And she's just like a woman. She like rehabilitates like people into like villains. But like, I felt like I was at Granny Goodness's like driver survival course, and all her goal was to say all this ridiculous bullshit until I was just riddled with rage. And I just wanted to absolutely lose my mind. It was insane. They made us many times add up all the fees we paid, like for like, well, what did this cost you in tickets and fees? And how much did this cast cost? And then for the DUI people, it's crazy because they're like, how much did the breathalyzer cost per month? And how much to get this? And like, anyway, they pay thousands of dollars. Like, you get a DUI. What I learned is like, you're paying 10 to 20K. Like, after all your fees, your legal, your breathalyzer, all that shit, it's expensive. That was the biggest takeaway I got, is like, I can't afford to be a delinquent, Nate. Like, I don't have that money.
Right.
I don't. Right. The system literally, like, it charges you to be, like, it is more financially savvy to just go on with your life because it's too expensive.
And that's why other people end up doing jail time. Like, a DUI is like a rich person's crime. You know, like,
absolutely,
poor guy can't afford a DUI.
It's crippling. Well, and like, obviously, like, you know, don't drink and drive, very kind of like straightforward thing. But like, we can go into it, like the whole keys could be in the ignition, but they don't have to be in the ignition. The key could even be like, you could have thrown the keys outside the window and just be taking a nap on the side of the road. And that's going to count as like a DUI. Like, there was a girl who stopped, watched a police officer get her car hit. And then she like reported what happened. And then they're like, and where'd you come from? And she was like from a party, and she was like 20, and she got like a DUI, and she had like one drink, and she like,
sons of bitches.
Yeah. Oh, and they were like, okay, you're free to go. And then she started to drive away, and then they stopped her. Like, and maybe because like the, it bananas, like, and anyway, this isn't against cops, but I'm just saying, like,
entrapment.
People make mistakes, but like, wow, like, you know, that girl has to start her like pretty young career, you know, with a very heavy like mistake and burden. So,
oh, yeah.
Definitely once you like fall, you make those mistakes, it just gets harder to climb out. And it like, it's like you're starting from behind, you know, like you're at a disadvantage for your rest of your life. Like, almost feels like rich people can afford to just pay it and move on, pay the legal fees, whatever, but like have multiple cars that they probably don't even need a breathalyzer in every single one of them. But like, you know, young people can't do that. So don't drink and drive. Don't run a red light, for God's sake.
I think this can all just go back to don't get tattoos.
All right, so let's move on. We are a sometimes D&D podcast, maybe-ish. And so today's kind of hot topic, Nate, I want to go over with you is the next version of Dungeons & Dragons. It's coming-ish.
Monsters of the Multiverse.
Well, first off, Nate, did you ever play? I've only ever played 5e. I'm pretty brand new to the series. Mm-hmm. Did you play version 3?
I have the first edition books and I read through them, but I would not want to play it. It's a lot more strict. Like 5e is kind of loosey-goosey where they're like, yeah, go do whatever you want. But like, this is like,
yeah, they made it mainstream.
Yeah. So I don't think I'd even want to play a version right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so here's kind of the scoop, Nate, right? So D&D turns 50 in 2024. It would be 50 years old. And so that's when they want to launch the next iteration of this game.
Ooh.
But like, here's the thing. 5e was explosive. They lowered the bar for the game, and that made, you know, it, like, instead of gatekeeping, like, it made it easier for just casual gamers and people like me basically to break in and start playing. So it has been explosively successful. And so there's a lot of speculation that basically they're not going to come up with just a new edition. They're going to try to scale this version.
Ooh, okay. It makes sense.
What are your thoughts?
They already have so much stuff. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, I reading through it, you sent me the article, and it seems like they just really want to open the thing up to make it all kinds of weird stuff, but it's fine. Like, because you're still basically, all the rule sets are going to be the same. It's only things like character classes and races and things like that are going to be altered to basically just make this huge fucking, I don't even know what.
They're slowly scaling it. They're removing, like, a lot of when it was like suggested ailment or alignments or suggested like characteristics or features, they're basically saying like, we're not going to put in any like unnecessary detail. Like, yes, when we had written these books, we imagined a dwarf in this kingdom had this type of attitude. But at this point, play what you want, how you want. Like, your dwarf doesn't have to follow that. And so they're really trying to remove a lot of that. I do feel like that's maybe there's a little bit of like modern pressure of like, taking away characteristics, like they don't want goblins and like gold to like come off, like, you know, like they're trying to paint some kind of ethnic group or whatever. So I think there's a little bit of
orcs and their negative intelligence. Like, who cares?
But their whole thing is like they just want to keep making it to play however you want to play. And honestly, Nate, I'm fine with that because that's really what at least my groups already do. We do not strongly stick to the alignment. And I don't think you should. I've never been a fan of the alignment because people have breaking points and they change, right? Like, so.
Oh, yeah.
I get that, like, some powers are attached to not breaking your alignment. Like, if you have, you know, like, if you're a cleric or a paladin, like, alignment then can be more important. Like, that was interesting. But then make that just a class feature. But the rest of the characters, like, you could have a shitbag rogue who at the very end, like, you did the like, number one memory I have of you as a rogue, Nate, was you rolling a sleight of hand to put gold in a poor person's pocket as a rogue. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, so you did, and you still were probably a shit rogue, but you did a good thing. Like, people are the human race or any us playing as even as other characters were unpredictable.
Right.
So I don't think we should have to follow alignments and characteristics. Like, fuck it. Let me play the way I want to play, Nate.
Right. I don't know who follows that shit anyways. Like, who's that much of a rules lawyer that they're like, oh, sorry, you have to be lawful good and tieflings have to be chaotic evil.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way they can go about it because of their demon blood. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like,
that's so boring.
That's too much.
That's so boring. I don't know. Like, there was there was an age where maybe that made sense, but I just don't think so anymore. Like, we just have a lot of options and games and stories to indulge in. Why would I play one that tells me how I have to play, you know?
Right.
If you play with our group, there's always a shtick too. Like, our characters always have, I don't know, I build my characters around a shtick. So this next season, I'm doing an illusionist wizard who can't remember a lot of his past. And so he actually, like, sometimes he accidentally, almost like wild magic sorcery, casts illusions, and then he can't tell if they're real or not. So he's just bananas, kind of like Joker from the movie. So, but he's a lot nicer.
A side note, how much backstory did he send you for your thing?
Well, he's literally like, well, since you can't remember your past, you don't get really a backstory. But he gave me some like memory fragments.
Ooh, okay, that's cool.
So I just have like maybe 7 bullets of like things I vaguely remember, but I wrote my story that way. I literally said like, I remember my childhood, and then I like met these like puppeteers who did like children's shows, and then I fell in love with one of them, and then I don't really remember anything else except that I've been doing that on my own now. I'm like in my 60s, and I've been doing that by myself now for years.
I like it. I think it's going to be fun. I only ask because I got like 3 fucking pages of backstory sent back to me of the whole world. And then apparently he liked my backstory enough that he rewrote it and made it better.
And is it better?
Gave that, yes, it's better, and gave it back to me, like more details, like people's names, this and that, what's been going on. Nice. And then I get a bunch of perks for my character now. Oh, because awesome.
maybe I should have tried harder then, because I really, literally, it's like this much text in a Word doc. I did get like the whole world building stuff, but when it got to me, I just got vague. But I feel like that's going to be fun for me, because I don't know, I'm going to enjoy like being like, was that an important plot point? Like that thing that I remember, like it'll be fun. And then I'm also just going to do this thing where like, I'm going to be like, oh, I remember there's a great bar down the road. And then like, I don't know if it'll be there. And like, maybe I'll have them just roll. Like, was there a bar there? Who knows? Like, maybe, am I making it up in my head? Like, I think this will just be a blast.
Oh yeah. It'll be the only time you're not expected to take notes. Cause I know you don't fucking take notes anyways.
Fuck no. That's not the game I want to play, Nate. There are people, we play with people who do, right? James do. Yep. I think even you do sometimes.
I take notes.
I don't know if Don does. Don might. It might just be me. Me that does it. But I'm also the type of person who, like, when we're just idly not doing anything anymore, I'm like, okay. Like, I'm the rally the troops and role play something.
And usually when you role play, you'll come up with a made up name, and then somebody will say the correct name because they took notes, and then you will quickly say, yeah, that's what I said. That's happened numerous times.
Oh, really? I can't tell if I do that on purpose or not, actually. I think that might be not on purpose.
It's just so automatic now. You'll be like, yeah, and then Johnson, and we'll be like, oh, Stevenson. Yeah, that's what I said. Now. Like, this son of a bitch.
I guess that's a plug for, so, professional DEMs, if you guys are listening, we've been trying one. And I don't know, I think we're a fan.
It really comes, I am, I like it.
It comes down to like finding the right person. I looked really hard for this person. I wanted somebody who wasn't a rules lawyer, right?
Yep. Huge.
I wanted somebody who like was a little, you know, like wanted to have a little bit of fun, but also still wanted to write elaborate backstories and whatnot. So I think we found a good balance. If you're trying to decide, should I pay for a professional DM, just decide if anybody in your group A wants to DM and B has the time to do it well. And for us, those were both no. Like, right. We want to be players. There's four of us. We all want to play. None of us really wants to like take the hit and be the DM. And then secondly, even if we could, like you were the best at it, Nate, honestly, at DMing, but like you have kids, you have family, like you don't really have the time to put the extra work. It's a lot easier to be a player than it is to be a DM.
And I like to play, you know?
Yeah.
I like no, same, to play.
Same thing. So I think it was a good call. I'm glad we found somebody who like vibes with our group. And if he's listening to the show, he says he does, but we also pay him to hang out with us. So like, yeah. I felt like, of course he was going to be like, oh yeah, I'll totally. That's what I would have said. I would have been like, oh, I'm going to listen to every episode. And then like never even look it up ever. So
we'll know he's our real friend when the money that we're paying him comes back to the Nat One Presents Patreon.
That's right. So, that's right. Yeah. And honestly, it's not that hard to track him because we probably don't have a lot of listeners from Canada. So like, if I start to see Canada viewership, I'll know he's not full of shit. Mm-hmm. So
we'll see though. We'll see.
So yeah, I did want to, I guess I got a little off topic here, but the next iteration, like I said, we do think that Wizards of the Coast is just trying to scale the current game. I guess we're on board with that. But what I'm not sure I'm on board on is this Monsters of the Multiverse package thing, Nate. So
right.
It's this like new book, the book itself sounds cool. It's divided into two parts. The first part is like, hey, we're going to take 33 of these character races and put them all in one book. They were previously across multiple books. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then the second half is 250 monsters, and some of them are new. And then again, consolidating kind of, what was the monster book manual called?
Varlo, this one's going to be Monsters of the Multiverse.
Yeah.
But other monster books, there's Volos.
Volos, that's what I was thinking.
The Monster Manual, I think the other one was.
Yeah, so I think it's combining a bunch of those.
Right.
It's combining a bunch of those, and I know I remember them saying, too, same thing of, like, they don't want monsters to be from one region anymore because they're, the hot word is multiverse everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so they're imagining, like D&D has, it's not just the Forgotten Realms, you know, like, Critical Role universe is canon, you know, that, like, that's an actual universe. So they want...
Wildemount, yeah.
They want... their enemies now that can be part of any of those. So all that sounds great, but here's the thing. You kind of can't just buy that book, I don't think. I think you have to buy, here, I'll just read the blurb for this one. So Mordekaiden Presents Monsters of the Multiverse will debut as a physical product as part of the Dungeons & Dragons Rules Expansion gift set, which retails for $169.99. $170.
I like the 69 part, but the 100 in front of that is really fucking me over, I feel like.
That's a lot. And then it will be released on January 25th. Pre-orders for the standalone book and for digital platforms such as Fantasy Grounds, Roll20, and D&D Beyond will begin on January 18th, and then they'll deliver May 17th. So I don't know. Like, I think the expansion, the Dungeons & Dragons Rules expansion gift set comes with that and then two other books. I think it's...
Tasha's Cauldron of Everything.
Yeah, it's that one, and then I think it's the other...
Xanthar's Guide to Everything.
Thank you. Thank you. Nate is encyclopedic.
Yeah, I already have both. So why, if it only comes in the kit, why the fuck would I pay the money for everything when I already have two of the three books?
I would pay Monsters, if it was just Monsters of the Multiverse, right, for the usual 50, 60 bucks. And then I could like kind of not get rid of, but like put those other two books away. Okay, we're consolidating, we're updating, right, we're adding some new stuff. Cool, I'd be down. $170 for two books you already had. And then this kind of like consolidated book, not feeling it. Right.
Because I also have Mordekaiden's Tome of Foes, which is that just out the window now? Because that's an entire book about monsters and demons and where they come from. But apparently there is some demon sitting on a couch somewhere who got upset because we weren't politically correct saying he came from one of the nine hells. So excuse me, you know?
Right.
Now everyone's up in a tizzy about it.
So you probably won't buy it.
I'll probably still buy it. <My kid. laughs>
They also came out with ingots for some of the, have you seen that online? They're only making like 10,000 of each ingot, and it's like an ingot that represents like the monster manual and like some of the first few books, some kind of celebration. Ooh. It's cool, but like, what are you
going for?
I don't know, Nate. It's useless. Like, they're just, it's an ingot of a book. It's not even the book, or it's not the cover of the book. It's just an ingot representing a book you already have, Nate.
Yeah, sounds like something I want.
Sounds good. Well, I'm very curious to see. I think they're too invested in D&D Beyond. I think 5e has been too explosive. So we're just, think the next iteration in 2024 will be a 5.5, or will just be this weird expansion of the multiverse. But I don't think it's going to be a new game by any means.
No, especially with them launching the D&D Beyond website and everything like that. Could you imagine if they actually wanted to implement a whole new rule set?
On top of that,
it'd be bananas. No, so I think 5e is here to stay for a long while.
I think so. And money talks, Nate.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So shifting gears. So this new season, if you've listened in the first season, which was Nat One Presents the Podcast, we usually do like some kind of activity. This season we're still going to do the activity, and then we're always going to finish with some Daft Monks, just kind of real play ongoing D&D campaign. But for today's activity, which kind of goes on the pop culture area, Nate, I want to ask you, have you ever seen a movie and thought, I could have wrote that better?
Oh, lots of them. Mortal Kombat being the first one that comes to mind.
Any horror movie you've probably ever seen. Or any horror movie.
The last Terminator I watched, I don't even know what it was. Rise of the Machines, probably.
They still have me.
Scarred me for life. I could have wrote that better.
Yikes. Yeah. So, well, here's your chance, Nate. So we're going to today workshop the plot of major 2022 blockbuster movies. So I have, six movies here. I have six movies. Mm-hmm. And I have the kind of start of the premise they unleashed, or they kind of like made public. But since the movies haven't gone out yet, I figure we can go ahead and just write the rest of the script for them, right? They're probably not through production yet. Like, we'll tell them how this movie should go, right?
Yep.
All right. Perfect. So first one I got for us, right? Aquaman 2. Mm-hmm. So, and I'll read you, this is kind of like the brief, this is all they've told us about the premise for Aquaman 2. Aquaman forges an uneasy alliance with an unlikely ally to save Atlantis and the rest of the planet. Where do we think this movie should go?
Oh, man, to save Atlantis and the rest of the planet. I feel like the rest of the planet's taking a back seat on this. So there's going to be zero time with the rest of the planet, because it's like the person you don't want to talk about. So the whole thing is going to be in Atlantis. Obviously, there's probably going to be some kind of dark underbelly. Jason Momoa might get his hair chopped off to pull like a Thor transformation kind of thing. Please. Like, well, we can transform too, you know. Maybe he'll be buffer. Maybe to jazz it up a little bit, since DC's been slacking, there might be some partial frontal nudity. I don't know.
I want some tattooed nips. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Who knows? You know? But as far as an actual plot, man, I don't know. There's going to be an evil merman of some kind who's going to find some ancient relic that came from space and that actually powers Atlantis. And he has to do something with it. Oh no, Atlantis is crumbling. He flees to the surface. Aquaman teams up with some bitch who's not the bitch that got beat up by Johnny Depp, allegedly. It's some other chick. And
actually, is
then they beat him.
This movie.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, she's still
in. How come she gets
movie
to keep doing movies? How come they have a different Dumbledore come in? Huh?
So
he was found innocent.
We'll get to Dumbledore in a sec. Okay. So I think you're spot on, but here's what I think happened. So I think like the Save Atlantis and the rest of the planet, I think this is a undercover environmental movie. And I think actually the threat is humans, because that usually is, being serious for a mm-hmm. second, the DC stuff. Atlanteans are always pissed that we're just literally dumping garbage. Like, it's like scene. I don't know what like animated show I was watching, but like they clean up all of the garbage and put it in the truck, and then the truck just backs up and dumps it back into the ocean. Like, that's so, like, I feel like that's what's happening. And Atlantis is like, this is bullshit. So then the unlikely ally is actually our friend Greta Thunberg, who gets gills and goes underwater and becomes an environmentalist aqua woman. And she also, you know, like the women always have sorcery, right? I don't know why only like women get it. Right. That's not how it is in like the comics, but in like whenever you watch an Aquaman movie, it's always like the female, like the queens, like his like love interest. They all have magic, and Aquaman's just like a guy with a lance and like fins or gills. I don't know.
Yeah, tucks the fish and shit.
Yeah, whatever. So I feel that's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to turn around, try to like blindside us and be like, you're the problem. And then Greta's just going to go on like a 30-minute rant, like not even in character. And then the movie's just going to end. That's what I'm thinking.
Like, the backdrop fades out, and then it's just her, and it's just all black behind her, and there's like fucking music going on in the background, and it's just panning in on her face.
Exactly. Yep. Her face.
It might pan over one time to see a Native American with a tear rolling down the cheek, like that old commercial, you know, where they're littering, and then it goes right back to Greta, and then like she's mad. You see the fire in her eyes.
It eventually zooms like 7,000% into like a vein on her forehead while still hearing her speech.
And that looks like a fucking redwood tree in California, you know, it's like protected and stuff.
I think we nailed it. I think sign, seal, deliver, print it, it's ready to go.
It's in the movie.
It's in the movie.
DC, right. Send us our paycheck.
So it's funny you mentioned Dumbledore, because the next one is the next Secrets of Dumbledore. What was that? Fantastic Beasts is the series. So I'll give you the premise, right? And then we can run with it, right? Okay. So Professor Albus Dumbledore knows the powerful dark wizard Grindelwald is moving to seize control of the wizarding world. Unable to stop him alone, he entrusts Newt Scamander to lead an intrepid team of wizards and witches. They soon encounter an array of old and new beasts as they clash with Grindelwald's growing legion of followers. Pretty vague, honestly.
Right.
Like, that's literally kind of just what the last movie was. Ish.
Yes. The same thing.
Yeah.
And maybe they throw in a Nicholas Flamel, but here's the secret of Dumbledore. You're not fucking Johnny Depp, dude. Like Grindelwald. Like, you're just some other guy. I don't know who you are. My time is invested with the Deppster.
Jude Law?
No, that's Dumbledore.
Yeah.
But Johnny Depp is supposed to be Grindelwald. Like, I don't know who you are. So, like, who's this other guy? I've seen him in another movie before.
I think they need to do the reverse. So you know how like Dumbledore's actor is way too young looking now compared to like where he should be in the timeline? Yes. I think they need to do the opposite. Now that they've replaced Grindelwald's like actor, he needs to be like at least 80 years old.
Yes.
Like super fucking old, like having like trouble like with basic mobility through in every scene. I think that's where we need to go.
I would have been behind that. Like, he's coming out with a walker and shit, and he's like, ooh, what happened? I used to love you. And he's like, oh, I pulled a Palpatine, man. I was doing Force Lightning, and all of a sudden I aged 150 years.
I hate when that happens, you know?
Yeah, I'm not wearing nice suits anymore, man. It's back to these robes for me now, dog. Letting my old nuts flow in the breeze, yo.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's where we go. What do you think Dumbledore's secret is?
Oh, do you think... now, living in the world we're living in today, I think he's going to come out as gay.
That's not a secret, Nate. Like, that's not.
No, it is in the time period, Nate. Maybe it's a time period piece.
It gets weird. Well, I'm more. All right, let's put that aside for a sec. I'm kind of more confused that, like, so Grindelwald convinced this other guy that he's Dumbledore's little brother. He's a mm-hmm. Dumbledore, but he's yes. not a Dumbledore.
No.
I think that's kind of like where we left off, right? Like, yeah. this yep. kid thinks
he's... And then, he's like, the Phoenix Fox mm-hmm. came back to him.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Right?
I'm not against that.
Who knows, you know?
What is the state of this like, movie series? Like, is it just rapidly going down the toilet? Or I thought the first one was meh. I kind of like the second one, if you forgive certain things like Nicholas Flamel and just other random shit going on. I kind of liked the second one. Like, I wanted to cry. I love the chick who's in love with the fat guy.
Yes, I do too.
I love her. And when she chose, mm-hmm. spoiler alert, to kind of like go with Grindelwald, I wanted to cry. Every of the characters is like irrelevant. But I do think Newt's character is like a really great actor. It's just like out of place in this like fantasy world of people just like doing like a paycheck Harry Potter movie. And then he's like mm-hmm. trying to go for the Academy Award of like a like broken wizard guy with weird right. like social skills.
I think that's one of the biggest problems is I love the characters. I love the fat guy. I love the chick who loves the fat mm-hmm. guy. I love Newt, you know, and then they just put these characters that I have grown to love into a story that's like, oh, I didn't see that coming, you know, yeah. like really pulled the wool over my eyes this time. Yeah, that must be the secret.
That last Dumbledore. Movie was brutal.
Right. Like, oh, this motherfucker's still alive. Oh, wow. And now you're going to throw Nagini in there? Like, come on. Like, you don't have to do that shit. You don't have to keep linking it back and forth all the time. Like, who gives a fuck? You already have Dumbledore in there. Like, that's fine. Leave it at that. What's next? Like, you're going to have baby Harry Potter coming out of fucking nowhere with a rattle and shaking it around and be like, oh, it's Harry Potter. It's, like, no, it's you don't need it.
There's going to be more cameos. I can't think of who they'll be. I don't know if giants live a long time or something, but like, we're going to have other cameos. I know
it. Oh, yeah. It'll be fucking baby Hagrid coming up with his dad and be like, oh, I can't wait to go to Hogwarts. And Dumbledore will be like, oh, well, you want to know a secret? I've fondled giants. That's my secret of Dumbledore. Fucking third movie. Jot it down.
Jot it down. It's in the movie. Okay.
It's in the movie.
Let's move on because that's getting a little off the rails here. So we have the Untitled Mara movie. It's not, obviously, it just doesn't have a title yet. That's why I call it Untitled. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of this, Nate? While cleaning out their grandparents' attic for a yard sale, four siblings discover a retro NES console. Assured it's nothing more than junk, the kids place it in a yard sale bin before hopping online to play their favorite games. But then an internet outage causes their games to crash, and the crew decides to dust off their favorite cartridge of an old system one last time. Little do they know that King Bowser has bigger plans for them, and it's up to the family to team up with Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Toad to save the Mushroom Kingdom.
It's the new Jumanji, but with Mario.
So I actually made that. There is no premise like revealed yet for the movie. So I made that up. But that is my biggest fucking fear, Nate, is that they're going to make this Jumanji. Because, all right, listen, I know some people, I don't know where you stand, Nate, but Chris Pratt as Mario, it's just mm-hmm. not clicking for me, Nate. Like, no, it's just like it? You have a Mario voice actor. He does right? the Mario voice acting for games. Why didn't we use that guy? Why was Chris Pratt the choice for Mario's voice? I just don't understand. And the only way that makes sense is if they Jumanji this shit.
Right. Oh, where it's and like, make it an action mm-hmm. movie. Like
where like Chris Pratt is like, oh man, I hate my life. I wish I was in a video game. And then he's like, wow, I'm Mario now. I'm Chris Pratt, but I'm Mario. Like,
that's check out these abs.
It's the only way I'm going to see this happen. Like, I mean, Charlie Day as Luigi, I am kind of on board for it, but I don't see it, Nate. I don't know. With these voice actors, I could be wrong, but I just don't know how this formula mixes in.
Is it going to be animated or real life?
Yeah, it'll be oh my God, animated. You know they'll never try real life or real live action
I
again.
I loved John Leguizamo as Luigi. And they got the jumpy boots. Man, that movie's a classic. I can see why you're worried, Nate. They're not topping that. I can see why you're worried about this movie.
But like, I don't know. I just, I'm not sure what's going on here, but I could be wrong. You know, like, I think if you went 10 years ago and told me that there was going to be a Lego movie that Chris Pratt was going to voice, also would have shat all over that. But Lego, I mean, Lego Batman is way better than the Lego movie, but nonetheless.
But I still love the Lego movies, but Lego Batman is way better. Lobster Thermidor.
Oh, is that where the Lobster Thermidor joke comes from?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't put that together. Whoa. Check out PJSD&D, Wayne Manor Menagerie to get that reference. We don't have a name for you yet, fans, but we are thinking it's douchebags, like the Daft Punk douchebags or D-bags. Yeah. We might be D-bags. Calling you D-bags. It's a good
effect. I don't know if we can get away with douche, but D, definitely.
D. For sure. Nate, just real quick, I already gave you what I think might happen with the Mario movie. It's going to be like a Jumanji thing. What do you think is going to be this premise for this movie? I know you're a really big Nintendo fan. Not really.
There's going to be a small Italian plumber who jumps on a flagpole and somehow that saves the day. I don't know what they can do, Nate. I really don't. To make it new and fresh and exciting for me to actually watch it, I don't fucking know.
Without it being like a spoof on itself, I don't know how they do it. Yeah.
Right.
There's no way.
I want to hear like, it's a Mia, you know, like I better fucking hear that.
So all right. But in Chris Pratt's voice, like it's a me, Chris Pratt.
As he's holding off two raptors.
Oh gosh. Okay. So these first three movies were kind of picked out of love. Like I enjoyed the first Aquaman. It is probably by far the best DC movie. Maybe Wonder Woman 1 was also pretty decent. Wonder Woman 2, though, don't get me started.
That was the 88. No, that was garbage.
Oh, bad. Yep. And then Secrets of Dumbledore comes from love for Harry Potter. I do love Nintendo and Mario. So those are movies I'm hoping can be redeemed. All right. But these next three movies, I do not think there's any hope, Nate. I don't think so. So Avatar 2. And before I go into the subplot, Nate, this is not The Last Airbender, the sequel.
I was really looking forward to that.
Were you? Is anyone
left hanging?
Does anyone want a sequel to that atrocity?
No, because I watched another clip the other day of how long it took the fucking earthbenders to bend earth. And it was like 30 fucking minutes of them dancing around before a tiny boulder went flying. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what's going on right now?
There's no redeeming that movie, but the Avatar.
This is Blue People Avatar.
Yes, yeah. We're talking Blue People Avatar, which, gosh, if we have young listeners, doubt it. But if we do, do they even know what the first Avatar movie is? Like, I was in high school or middle school, Nate, when the first Avatar came out. Like, I don't think some of these kids were alive.
Yeah. And it was life changing.
It was supposed to. That's what everybody tells me that my experience was. They're like, oh, yeah, it changed life. I'm like, no, like it was Space Pocahontas with cool special effects for 2002 or whatever.
I heard on the rumor mill, because you know how I get my word on the street.
Facebook.
You'll start getting that too now that you're a criminal. But some people actually killed themselves to hopefully live in the same world as Avatar.
Is that real?
That's what I've heard. I did zero fact checking on it, so guaranteed it's true. Sense.
I have so many questions. Like, first of all, we know how money works in this world. Like, which studio gave James Cameron a blank check for like a bajillion dollars, said, make me four sequels and go ahead and take like 20 years for the next movie to come out?
Take as much time as you need.
Who does that? Like, no, like, people only give you money to make more money back. Like, that's it. So I don't like what, unless I walk into the theater, they strap Oculuses to all of us. And then the movie is like a build your own adventure. I don't know what took almost two decades to make this movie. And there is, if we've learned anything from video games that take 5, 10, 15 years to come out, there is no way this will live up to anyone's standard.
No. Just like Cyberpunk. I still play it, though. I love it. But it is trash.
You threaten me whenever I'm like, I don't know if I have time to record this week. You'll be like, I swear to God, I will live stream Cyberpunk on the Nat1 account.
And I'll do it. Right. It's the only game I'm playing right now. And I will fucking do it.
Why, Nate?
Don't push
me,
Nate.
It's like an abusive relationship. Why?
It is. And I love it. I don't know why I love it. One day we have to play the RPG game, though. the 2020 Cyberpunk 2020 it's called.
I'd like to once see the plan is once we have actual listeners on this podcast, and I imagine one day it will be funny because it will be actually blown up and they'll be like, haha, they have like thousands of listeners. But if you're listening today, 2022 January, you know, we have like no listeners. So I dream of the day where we have so many listeners and then we're like, hey guys, we're going to stream Cyberpunk 2022 or whatever. Or what game is it?
2077. 20. It's the video game.
Got it. Sorry. Anyway, I dream of the day where we can just like tell our listeners and then they're like ready and waiting on Twitch or whatever.
They're actually excited about it. Yeah,
it could happen. And that person's not our moms or our family or friends.
Love you, mom.
Love you, mom. All right. So Avatar 2, I am going to read the summary, but we're not even going to try to, I don't care enough to even try to guess or make up a dumb plot for this. So I'll just read what they have. Jake Sully and Neytiri have formed a family and are doing everything to stay together. However, they must leave their home and explore the regions of Pandora. When an ancient threat resurfaces, Jake must fight a difficult war against the humans. Sounds like the exact same movie, but with a mystical ancient threat.
Yeah, again, like he already did that.
Like, why are the humans? Like, if you have to add humans to make this movie interesting, it's already a bad movie. So, anywho, this next movie I have hope for, but I got a feeling, Nate, you don't. I got a feeling you're not.
No, I fucking don't.
It's
not at all.
The Batman.
Starring Edward.
Yeah, so, okay. And there's not a lot of premise on this one either, but the Riddler plays a dangerous game of cat and mouse with Batman and Commissioner Gordon in Gotham City. What do you think is going to happen in this movie? And do you think you seem to be pretty critical of it, Nate? What are your thoughts here?
Instantly, I saw the trailer and I thought, who the fuck made these costumes? Like, I do not know how to make clothes, and I feel like I could have made better costumes than what's going on now. Like, they're trying to do like a throwback to like the Adam West style mask where it's a tiny little mask, and the Catwoman thing, I don't know what the fuck that is. And the Riddler looks like he went out for a jog wearing one of those sweatsuits and then just left it on. You know,
is it like just like a trash suit?
Yeah, like trash bags and track suit on him. Like, what is going on right now? Like, he looks kind of fat anyways. Like, maybe he's just trying to lose weight. Maybe that's the riddle, is he's trying to lose weight and this is the only way he knows how to go about it, by burning mental calories.
I don't know, Nate. I'm more concerned. Did you see what the Penguin looks like in this movie?
No, I didn't.
So, I don't know if you can stop what you're doing right now and Google it, but
let me see.
Yeah, let's do this. It is an assault on my eyes. Who's the guy that was in? Oh gosh, I'm so bad with names.
Andy Serkis?
No, it's not Andy Serkis.
It's not Andy Serkis.
Is it Andy Serkis? No, hold on. It's Colin Farrell.
Oh,
right. And you think that's Andy Serkis and that's Penguin. That's
well, I saw another thing that said Andy Serkis, but okay, I'm seeing the picture.
Yeah, look at that
Colin
picture.
Farrell right now. So he has a very weird dimply chin and an underbite, it looks like, and kind of sharp elfy. He just looks like an old rough man.
It's weird because, so I think there was two routes you could go. You just make him evil and badass, or you go the like really weird Danny DeVito, like, this guy is disgusting.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's do a little bit of both, but not satisfy either. And that's what we got. Colin Farrell is just this like old, kind of uncomfortable looking fat man, even though I know, I think because I know it's Colin Farrell, I'm just like, what happened to you? Like, it's like he got like struck with like a gringo ray and then aged, and it's just making me uncomfortable. Like, I feel like I'm looking at my own future, and it's just not very Penguin-esque. And where's the top at?
Yeah, he's like balding looking. He's not there's an attractive man under there, but he does not look like it.
And his skin is so like, he has like the scar, like kind of like if you had incredibly bad acne and then like repeatedly popped all your zits all over your face. And then that scarred like your face and that was your skin. And then you lived in Arizona for like 10 years and you never used sunblock. That looks like the skin regimen that Colin Farrell has. And I'm just uncomfortable. There's so much texture coming through this image right now. I don't know, Nate. I don't know if this movie can be redeemed.
No, I don't think so at all. Like, looking at the faraway shot, I was looking at a zoomed in shot, but looking at a faraway shot, he just looks like a roughed up stepdad, you know, who like... he got a flat tire on the way home and it started to rain on him a little bit. So he had to change it. Now he's all wet and he gets home and he sees that his kid didn't take out the trash. Now, if you're looking at the picture while I'm explaining this, it makes perfect sense. And that's the scowl on his face, is that this step kid didn't take out the fucking trash.
It 100% makes perfect sense. I'm looking at it and that, like, you literally, like, I'm just sad for this person. Even his posture, his, like, guts jutting out, but his shoulders are kind of rolled back, and then his, like, head is, like, tilted, like, it's like...
He's like, God, I gotta deal with this shit again.
And the rain doesn't help. Like, I don't think you can say, I don't. I see also what you mean about the Riddler being in, like, a trash backtrack suit.
Yes.
It's very.
Like, what is going on? And did you see Edward's emo Batman mask? Like, come on. Like, we've had so many good costumes, and you're gonna just be what shitty
if,
all of
what
a sudden.
What if it's amazing? What if it's amazing?
You know who this movie's catered to? Weirdos like Chris. That's who this movie's catered to.
Yeah, our producer, who sometimes fills in or is a third party on our show, he's a big Batman fan, and he has hope for this. I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of face. There's a lot of face and not a lot of mask.
I was actually thinking of something really creepy right now where I could totally see Chris, like, walking behind you on your screen, but then somehow walking behind me on my screen. Man, I would be so scared.
I look forward. He's coming soon. The power with remote recording, we can get all three of us on, not next to each other. Honestly, do you know how hot it got in that room, in my bedroom, when the three of us?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then every time we were done recording, my husband came in and he complained about the smell. Every time.
Oh, did it smell bad?
Every time. Yeah, from just three guys in, like, kind of a humid room recording for an hour plus. He would come in and he would talk so much shit. And I was like, babe, these are my friends. But also, yes.
Oh, I always tried to smell nice. Now I feel bad.
I don't know. I think it's just, like, again, three guys. I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, my thighs get sweaty, Nate, because I gyrate my legs. I shake when I get nervous.
That's too much information.
Sorry.
All right. This last one is Jurassic World Dominion. I got to be honest,
Chris Pratt again? Is it fucking Chris Pratt again?
Yeah. I did watch the first Jurassic World, and I was like, it's just like a repeat. Like, literally almost it's like they did the same thing again, but with a new monster. Mm-hmm. And just like, how many times are you going to open the same park on an island with a volcano? Like, just how many times are people going to make the same horrible decisions? I don't know. But here's the problem, Nate. Set 4 years after the events of Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, which I have no clue what the fuck happened in that movie, in which a genetic...
Yeah, which one was that?
I guess genetically engineered dinosaurs were auctioned to companies around the world, while others were released on the U.S. mainland. The story takes place around the world and depicts humans living with dinosaurs.
Hmm.
Sounds like crap to me.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
I'm not feeling it.
I don't... What company would buy it? Amazon? Tesla? They got dinosaurs now? They're going to space? Space dinosaurs?
I'm just imagining, like, people with dinosaurs in their backyard. And, like, it's almost like the Flintstones. You know how they're just, like, riding around and, like the dinosaurs do, like machine work. And, like, that's...
Yep.
I'm thinking we're going to be watching the Flintstones, but live action with Chris Pratt.
I'm not buying it. Because, number one, there's a lot of people out there, I think, that are kind of like me. And I don't even trust my own computer. Let alone buying a fucking dinosaur to hang out in my backyard with my children. I'll give that a hard pass.
The guy who unplugged his Alexa because it offered a suggestion in the middle of his conversation. Like,
I didn't ask her, Nate. I didn't say, hey, Alexa. I was having a conversation with my wife and she butted in saying, I can help with that.
The point being, Nate, I 100% believe you. Like, most of this population would not let us. Like, that's like, do you see people walking around with tigers? Not unless you're famous. If you're a celebrity, then probably.
Or the Tiger King, but he can turn anybody gay. Just ask.
But I don't know. These movies have gotten so unbelievable. And the first Jurassic World killed it for me. Cause I'm like, you literally just repeated the whole first Jurassic Park movie, but with some minor things. Like, went, like, you finished it in the same area, like, very manufactured, very, hitting these, like, nostalgia remakes, like, get out of here, give me a fresh take or get the hell out of here.
But I think there's something about the Jurassic Park that's a lot like a bad relationship. Like, you always have that friend who keeps getting into these toxic relationships and they're like, I can make this work. I can make it better. Like, no, your relationship is Jurassic Park. It's a park full of prehistoric creatures
who are just trying to eat your face,
who kill humans. Yes, it'll never work. Stop trying to make it work. Like, no, I'm going to give them a chance this time. This time we altered their DNA and they're going to calm down. Okay. They're not going to be so worked up this time. You know, they can't reproduce because we changed their DNA with frogs. So we got it covered.
I would watch that movie, first of all. But yeah, I think that's exactly what, like, it's, that was like some weird complex, like, comparison you just made to society, but it works. And relationships. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can't change people. You can't change dinosaurs.
That's Jurassic Park. That's going to be my new thing now. When, like, I see a friend of mine or somebody in a bad relationship, I'll be like, oh, Jurassic Park.
And with that, Nate, I think it's time to play some D&D. How about you?
Okay, let's do it. I'm so ready.
The darkness is approaching yet again. The vampires have outnumbered us 4-1. And our odds are not in our favor. It seems as if all hope is lost.
I wouldn't quite say lost, as probably misplaced or something along those lines. But either way, fear not, for Van Helsing and Belmont are here to save you.
And welcome to the first chapter, whatever you want to call it, of Daft Monks. Daft Monks is our real play D&D campaign that we'll be playing at the end of every single episode of the Daft Monks podcast by the Nat One guys, me and Nate. They follow our two favorite heroes, Trevor Belmont and Abraham Van Helsing, who are just really horrible monster hunters who are both tasked with defeating Dracula, but pretty much always fail. Just go listen to season one and you can find some more backstory if you want. But otherwise, we are starting fresh today. With the new adventure. And I'm going to hand it over to Nate, who will be our DM for this episode.
Thanks, Nate. So, tiny bit of backstory. Just a tiny bit. Everything happened on the previous episode. Go watch it. Watch all of them. But in between then, Van Helsing and Belmont found a nice, quiet little town to retire to. They got tired of trying to hunt the D. So they ended up in a town called Prohold. Now, they've been here for, let's say, 6 months, enjoying their small vacation that they thought was retirement, and that trouble is brewing. But we don't know that yet until later on. But as of right now, they found a little cottage that they share and room together. And basically, they've been making odds and ends by selling trinkets. Van Helsing has actually been selling off items that they found during their travels, and they're starting to run thin. So he might be resorting to other nefarious means. Meanwhile, Belmont is kind of loving it so far. He's enjoying the peace and the quiet, and he's trying his hands at other things besides monster hunting, which is all he's known his entire life. And I think that's where we will start off with us, my boy. It's been so nice these past couple of months, just me and you out here. I just want you to know that I appreciate it. I really do.
Yes, yes. It's been nice not living on the road, living in peril, burning people's houses down, attempting to be killed every so often, protecting people who don't want us to protect them. This is really living the life. But what do you appreciate in particular? If you want to tell me exactly what you like, I'd be happy to hear.
Well, it's just this town, you know, like, I feel like I can finally let my hair down and just and really get to it. You know, like, everyone's so nice here and loving and caring. And they're always like, oh, hey, Van Helsing, you look so good today, or you're looking very dapper today, Van Helsing, you know, and I just really appreciate that, you know, more than anything in the whole wide world, just someone who appreciates me for the things that I do, my boy.
Oh, I feel like. Are you saying I should appreciate you more? I mean, I think your hair looks nice. It's very tangled, and it would help if you brushed it. But I appreciate you, Van Helsing.
I'm picturing you, like, sitting down on, like, a couch or something, and I'm in the kitchen, like, chopping up vegetables, cooking dinner.
No, no, it's not that. I think you're fine. I'm tired, you know, like money's getting tight. We need to find something else to do for funds around here. I'm almost completely out of my treasures that I've sold, and you know, Dread Pirate McNibbles, he hasn't come back yet with that treasure map that I told him to go get, and it's not looking good lately.
Oh, well, if you want, I could help you. I could look in the newspaper and circle jobs for you to go apply for. I mean, I'm very happy here working on my meditation garden. I wouldn't want to ruin that.
Yes, I looked out there earlier and saw you tore up my medicinal herbs and put sand with some curvy lines and a couple of rocks out there. I really appreciated that. That was great of you, my boy.
Yeah, you know, I just figured they look like weeds to me, you know, and part of harmony is death, you know, like sometimes you have to give life and then sometimes you have to pick all the weeds and light them on fire. And man, did I have the best meditation of my life after I burned all your weeds?
Yes, they were medicinal weeds, because, you know, I have that condition, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, I think you're right. I think I need to try and find a real job. I think it's that time. You enjoy retirement. You were the real monster hunter, my boy. And I think I'll maybe go ask the tavern, the man at the tavern, Delge, I think his name was, if maybe I could get a job there and sling drinks or whatever it is the commoners do, you know.
Yes, yes, I think we should do exactly that. You like to drink. You like to sling? You like to talk to people? You would be great at that. And the best part is that I would stay right here in the meditation garden doing what I like doing, which is nothing. But not nothing. It's transcending time and space in my own inner and outer feelings and whatnot. But really, I'm doing nothing physically except existing in one minute area in the garden.
Yes. You son of a bitch, yes. You always talk me into these great ideas. Okay, first thing in the morning, I will go down to the tavern and ask for a job. This might be the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Yes. Just remember to wear pants. I remember a lot of times you did a lot of jobs and you weren't wearing pants for most of them.
When you have calves like these, you just can't not show them off, my boy. It's a crime, really.
Yeah, I don't even know how your pants fit. It's so weird because you have such thin, like weak, sickly looking thighs. But then your calves are like baseballs. It's very, it's alarming. You should spend some time in the meditation garden.
Oh, yes, yes. Imagine if Geralt of Rivia was flipped upside down, like how his biceps are. That would be my calves.
Ooh, I'm a big fan of Geralt, as you know.
And also remember that the long white hair also flows from me in the same general direction.
Is this the upside down part of you? I'm up and down, a little mixed up.
Fear not, my boy. Fear not. I'll get that job. I'll go ask Delge in the morning, and I'm sure we can get things worked out.
Yes, that sounds delightful. Very good. Well, if you don't need anything else from me, I'm done folding my origami morning stars here at the dining table, and I will go finish with an evening meditation and pray for your return tomorrow is fruitful.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Good night.
You're appreciated. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He does look like finger guns.
The fucking finger guns. So if that's it, then you guys go to bed. And I, Van Helsing, do go out to the bar, the tavern, to go talk to Delge first thing in the morning. And I don't come back.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm like wandering around the house and like everything's clean, everything's organized. Like, and I'm like, something's wrong here. I'm having a good day. The house is organized and in order. I'm happy, honestly. Something must be up with Van Helsing. I wonder, maybe I was foolish to let him go to town by himself. I mean, that boy always gets himself into trouble. That man, that heck of a man, knows how to give himself a hell of a time. So maybe I'll go start at the bar that he said he was going to apply for. Is the newspaper listing still around?
Oh yeah,
the one I like circled.
Yeah, but you circled like an actual job, and I decided I'm going to go to the bar. Like you circled like an accountant at the bank kind of deal.
Okay, I'm gonna. So Belmont very much like thinks he's always right. So even though you told me we're going to go to the bar, I'm going to go to like the bank first.
Have you seen this man? Okay, what time of day do you think it is that you finally left?
I don't know. So sunrise happened. I figure you left a few hours ago, but by noon, I'm like, he always comes back for food. If I know Van Hedda's saying, he's always looking for a free meal, and he does not know how to make food for himself. 45 years in the making, and he can't make himself a sandwich or anything. So I'm going to say around noon, I head over.
Okay, so you're going to the bank, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, you walk up to the bank. They just opened back up after their lunch hours, and nobody else is there except for one, like, female lady, kind of just getting back into position behind, like, the main front desk option, I guess you could say.
Well, greetings and salutations, sir. What brings you to the fine bank today?
Not anything worth depositing. No, I have no money. You stay away from me. Can you introduce me to the male manager in charge? I'm sure you, like, that can't be you as a female, as beautiful and meek as you are.
Well, you are absolutely correct. There's no possible way I could manage a bank as large as this. Let me get him for you.
And then she kind of, like, graciously bows to you a little bit and then goes and gets the manager. And he comes back and he's like the fucking short guy from Peter Parker and shit with the cigar and the mustache.
What seems to be the problem here? You got a problem with my miss?
No, she's delightful. She's right in the place she needs to be and should not be promoted any further than that, because I think you as a man... Anyway, listen, I'm looking for... Have you seen this guy?
That guy? No, I haven't seen him around here lately. He came in looking at the vault earlier, but I told him to shoo away. It looked like he was trying to steal from this place. You know what I mean? He was trying to steal from me.
No, absolutely. We gave that life. I mean, we never were part of that life, but long ago. Anyway, listen, he was here to apply for a job, rehabilitation and whatnot. So you didn't hire him?
No, absolutely not. He didn't meet our credentials. Pants was the first thing on the list of credentials.
Oh, I told him to wear pants. I told him. Okay. Yes, that would make sense then. Is anywhere else hiring here? You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe a law firm or like a chef eatery type place?
Any place reputable? No, not really.
Any place not reputable?
Just the bar. It's pretty seedy. Bad shit. Dudes go in there. I go in there every Wednesday night. I'm a bad dude.
Yes, I can tell by your half sleeve and that red light you ran with the horses the other day.
Yeah, I had to do a class on.
Totally bad. like fans himself. Anywho, well, off to the bar. That's probably first place they should have checked, I guess.
No, these things happen. You have a great day now.
You do. Say hello to your amazing secretary who is in her rightful place.
No, she's deaf. I'll probably fire her anyway soon.
Oh, wow. We had a full conversation, and I wasn't even using my hands. Anyway.
She's a lip reader.
I just look over her and gives me the finger. Okay, I want to go to the bar.
Okay. You go across the street to the Friendly Arrow Tavern, and it's owned by Delge, and everything looks closed up. It should be open at this point, but the door is closed and there is a closed sign flipped around the front of the handle.
Yes, I believe Van Helsing taught me an old Swami trick. And I just, like, turn the sign around and then just try to, like, shake the handle. And
oh, it's not even locked. You just walk right in.
Okay. You're like, hello.
As you walk in, there is blood and guts all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Smeared all over. Pieces of people kind of on the left and on the right. And then that's pretty much all you see right now at this point. You can roll if you want.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't have a great score, but can I roll a medicine check? Like, is this human blood? And actually, do I have investigation? Investigation is the same, but that makes more sense. I'd like to roll investigation. Is this human? Was there a fight here? Like, can I mind palace this thing and figure out what occurred?
And yeah, like Sherlock Holmes.
My roll is really good. It's a 16 plus 2 and 18.
Ooh, dang, you crushed it. Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, you've seen something like this before. It is the classic sign of a monster attack. And all the blood that you see is only human. It doesn't look like anybody has hurt the monster in any way whatsoever. You don't notice any monster blood on the ground, but from the claw marks that you see and then the wounds that occurred on the remains of the human bodies that you see, it was definitely some kind of monster attack.
So Belmont being the last living heir to the Belmont clan, which is a clan of monster hunters, he leaned down, he analyzed the situation, he took the blood, he smelled it, could tell it was human, and then he starts having these flashbacks of just people dying and him having to rescue people and really gory deaths, just lots of people dying, really gory deaths. And then he marks on his cheeks, almost like a football player, with the blood. And now he's in the zone. He's it's time to come out of retirement. But first, do I see anything of Van Helsing's around?
Give me a roll for it. Or no, I'm going to say with your investigation roll, you rolled good enough. Underneath a pile, you do see Van Helsing's boots sticking out. Like he's hiding like a little kid, on all fours. And it's just his feet are sticking out. And you see him pretty clear. He's actually wiggling them and he's hiding.
Okay, I'd be like, hello, is anyone here? I have a huge pile of gold and also a bunch of untrained rodents who would like to join Sky Pirate McNibble's traveling piratry. I guess I'm just going to leave then if nobody says anything.
No, my boy, is that you? Is that you, my boy?
Yes, yes. What happened here? Why are you hiding?
I was obviously not hiding. I was knocked unconscious by a monster that happened to be in here. I have no idea what it was.
And I'm going to roll to deceive you.
Oh,
that was it. That was a 6 plus.
Should I roll insight against it?
I only got a 8. So if you get higher than an 8.
Well, I have a +6 to insight. So.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's an 11.
Okay, you know I'm lying. I have no idea what monster was here or where he came from or what he wanted.
Listen,
he just
Van Helsing, it's okay. We've been out of the game. Okay, you're scared. You're out of practice. You're far less qualified or skilled or athletic or in shape as I am. It's okay. I wasn't here to be your anchor, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm here now, and it's time to get to work, my boy.
Oh, thank God. I've been feeling dreadful about this ever since I caused this. You know, this is all my fault, really. I don't know what happened. One minute, I'm telling them a story about High Pirate Captain McNibbles, and next thing you know, Captain McNibbles comes back, but he is no longer Captain McNibbles. He is something entirely different. Wait,
McNibbles is the monster?
Oh, absolutely. He came back, but not with a treasure map, with something else. He is now, I hate to say it, a were-rat.
Oh, no, McNibbles. I don't quite remember where or how your origin started or how you joined our party or really how Van Helsing, of all people, was able to train him to do menial tasks. But
yes,
you were our friend. But if I have to pierce his heart with, I don't know what you used to kill werepeople. Is it the same D&D as traditional vampires? Or
I'm sure something silver. If you got a silvered sword or something.
McNibbles, if the last kind thing I can do for you is pierce your heart with a silver spear, then by golly, I'll do it. I'm just saying that, looking up, not really talking to anybody whatsoever,
monologuing.
Yeah. Do I have to roll a dex saving throw?
Yeah, do a dex save because you're standing in a lot of blood monologuing.
If that's a home rule, listeners, that if you monologue, you have to roll a dex kind of saving throw. So thankfully I have a +5. Oh, thank God. It was a 7. I thought it was in that one for a sec. Ooh. So 7 + 5 is a 12.
Oh yeah, you crushed it. Your feet slip a little bit, but you actually use it to make a more heroic pose while you're monologuing.
Yes. Perfect. Great.
Now, after the bank job, I still didn't put on my pants. They were still drying off from the meat sweats, you see. Now, I walk over to the bar, and I know I can get a job here at the bar. I can bamboozle anybody into loving me. I walk in. They have a help wanted sign, and I take it down like a badass. I make eye contact, and I look at Delge, and I'm like, Delge, I'm the guy for this job. And he was like, you son of a bitch, I'm in. And he snapped his fingers and pointed at me and we made contact. I am not making...
He said, I'm in. And then he pointed at you.
Okay.
All right. I'm with you.
And I said, the name's Glog now. But no, okay, that didn't happen. Now, he said, I'm in, meaning I got the job. You son of a bitch, I'm in. I got the job. Now, all this happens. I put on an apron. I immediately start bussing tables because you know I'm the hardest worker you've ever seen in your entire life. And that's when it happened, my boy. That's when High Pirate Captain McNibbles burst through the door. Well, he didn't burst. He just made a little squeaky sound and he came walking in. And I thought he found the treasure map. So I was like, I fucking quit, Delge. You know, I've been working for a whopping 5 minutes and I'm already throwing down my apron saying I quit. But
Van Helsing, your tales are quite tall, but there's usually always a little bit of truth in them and a lot of blood. A lot of blood and a little bit of truth. But I guess that's enough for me because I can't sense Sky Pirate McNibbles here. So and he's always just in your pocket, ready to leap out at the given note.
Right. I may have thrown a scarf at him in the scuffle and a coat and a top hat.
You fight with a crossbow, my friend.
I lost it.
It cuts to like a playground and it's like in like the sand, like the ball pit.
Like, mommy, look at this. Timmy, no. Oh yes, my butterfingers.
It's but you're rusty. I've all been there, I guess. Not to the playpen, but
yes. Either way, he got away, and if I'm honest with you, I got scared. I didn't know what we were going to do. I didn't know if you wanted to fight monsters anymore, and him being my rat, who's now a were-rat of some kind, and maybe that had something to do with the...
Say no more. Together, let us team up. Should we get your crossbow? I mean, you can't fight with a scarver. Is this thing where you just have me do everything again and you just kind of keep the bystanders at bay?
You might have to do that because little Timmy was kind of a jerk and that's how I lost my crossbow. He is quite menacing, believe it or not. He was threatening to leave me on top of the seesaw, Belmont. On top! If I fell down, that could have hurt.
Told me you were being bullied by a man named Timmy, but I didn't know he was a toddler.
Well, Timmy's what his mom calls him. I call him Tim, the bully. He's a real jerk. But either way, we need to gather reinforcements.
Yes.
And hunt down High Pirate Captain McNibbles.
Yes, I'm back in the game. And who's on the crew? Who are we recruiting?
Well, I was going to ask Delge, but he died. Sadly.
I just look over and he's like dead, like face like first on the like counter.
Do an investigation on Delge.
That one.
Yep, he's dead. Dead. He's
dead. Like I pick him up and I'm like, oh, he's dead, and I just drop it and like hear like that.
Yep.
Like his head just drops.
He has like a glass bottle in his neck. He's just dead. The monster obviously killed him.
Very much. I don't remember Sky Pirate McNibbles being so brutal.
Oh, yes. He's a terrible, terrible creature. Now, that's all we have. We could ask our friends at the church, but ever since I broke in, let's say 2 to 3 nights ago and drank all of their communion wine, they might not be too happy about it.
Well, at least they have the holy water. Oh, no.
Yeah, I needed a place to wash my pants. And I was like, no. Oh, somebody left a nice cleaning basin out here. And it is a terrible mess, I have to say.
You know, I just paid our dues for the air, too. I paid up front and wanted to try to get ahead with the big guy for once.
Oh, that wasn't enough. I went and fucked that up. I'm sorry. I should have gotten a job sooner. Sometimes I forget how big of a screw up I am, my boy. But the church never turns you down. You're a child of God, after all.
Yes, yes. I have a special place in their heart and their... donors. My family were big donors. I don't have as much money as my parents did before they were, you know, brutally murdered by Dracula. But back in the day, we donated quite a bit of pretty penny. But anywho, basically legacy. Anywho, let's go. So we can't go to the church. Delge is dead. I don't think you have many other friends. And I've been a little too focused on my meditation garden.
Well, maybe if you could origami us up some friends, we'd be in great fucking shape.
That's it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have anything. I can't actually make origami, people. But maybe we can go to the merchant square. Like, I have sold some of that to some different people, and Maybe there's someone for hire, like a mercenary that we could tag along. I hear a blade has been lurking.
Ooh. Okay, very well. Let's go to the Merchant Square and see if we can get some reconnaissance, and maybe we could find somebody to help us fight this new menace that is Sky Pirate Captain McNibbles.
That sounds great. And I just trudge through, like, multiple puddles of blood and, like, ooh. Before we go, should we maybe check pockets, see if they left? I mean, they're not going to need it anymore.
You are absolutely correct. Oh, we could maybe pay back for the church. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I like what you're saying.
And then you look over and Van Helsing's kind of like really half-assed, and he's kind of just like poking it with the toe of his boot.
It's fine. Like, I'll check. I know you don't like to literally get your hands dirty. Like, not figuratively, like literally you don't like residue on your fingers. It's very odd.
It's just yucky, you know? It's gross.
Do I find any money? Anything?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna say let me just make a. Oh yeah, that's good. I'm gonna say we find enough money that if you wanted to, we could probably
hire a blade
to the church.
Oh, to the church,
or hire.
Yeah, I got you, church.
Or, yeah,
church.
We could take it to the church, or we could hire that random blade man, possibly in the town square.
He lurks. They say he lurks.
I think you're just a little racist. You think any person of that skin color standing in the shadows is lurking? I told you, you can't be thinking.
What is he? Why does he come out in the public? I don't understand. Like, why stand behind things unless you're like afraid of the sun, which he's not. He's a daywalker. That's his whole thing. It's just sick.
Well, he's still half Dracula, kind of, you know, like he wears those sunglasses. Like, I didn't even know what those were originally. I thought he just had voids for eyes. But it turns out he made these special glasses. It's blowing my mind, really. Absolutely. I want a pair.
It's absolutely brilliant. Anyway, okay, let's go to the Market Square.
Okay, to the town square?
Yep.
So we head to the town square, and things are looking a little slim pickings. I think there was quite a few people in the Friendly Arrow bar. Well, and they're, you know,
can I roll like perception also as we were going to the like work walking there? Like, was I noticing like people screaming in the roads or like smoke off in the distance or just things that like suggest chaos or danger?
Yeah, yeah,
or...
you can roll for it.
So I did a percept. This is like a retroactive perceptive, only like a 14.
A 14?
Yeah.
I think you can tell that like something is uneasy. Like there aren't as many people walking the streets as there should be right now.
Okay.
And a lot of people's doors and windows are like shuttered up. Like maybe something did just happen.
Okay.
At least within the hour.
I see. These poor, poor locals. What would they do if we weren't here to save them? It's almost like they need to hire a monster hunter. I like say really loudly, like in the direction of like one of the open windows.
Oh, yes, something came by. And they're like, Timmy, close that window. Get away from there.
That's Timmy.
He but seems... I found this crossbow.
That's Timmy. He seems very sweet.
No, he's a monster. Don't get near him. He has a snaggle tooth of +1 sharpness. It'll cut right through your armor.
Oh, dear.
And then people, yeah, still locking up. But as you make your way back to the center of town, there are still people that have their little shops up, but they look uneasy. Like if like one more fucking thing happens today, like they have that look on their face, like the penguin from earlier. Like if one more fucking thing happens today, I am packing up and going home.
I've never gotten so much out of a picture as you got out of penguin. Oh my god. Okay.
I knew his whole backstory and everything, Nate, from the one picture. I know we're in the middle of this, but how bad would you laugh if that is his backstory in the fucking
movie? Like, do you know, like, well, what I mean, Joker has many, there's no like kind of like canonical like backstory for him, but one of the like popular ones is that like he a guy trying to make ends meet, he was like a comedian, and then he's like not making money, so then he goes to do like one gangster job, and that's at the like the plant with like the toxic poison shit, and then he gets pinned and he falls. So it's like he just had one bad day and then turned into the Joker. Ooh. And like that's kind of exciting for the penguin, that penguin we saw. I just think he had a lot of those days, not just one. Like he crawled out of the acid, was like, you know what, tomorrow will be a new day. And then the next day it was like even worse. Like they foreclosed on his house.
He's changing that shitty tire, and in an act of frustration, he throws the tire iron, and it just so happens to hit a bus full of nuns that falls off of a bridge, and they're like, that guy killed all those nuns.
He's like, well, I guess I'm a fucking criminal now. I might as well run a red light.
Now we have to see the movie. We have to now.
So stupid. So I want to know his story.
So anyway, there was a merchant who looked like that guy. Oh my god. No one's laughing. Nobody who's listening is laughing as hard as we are, you know?
Such an ugly laugh. Okay. We're in the market.
Excuse me, sir. Did you just kill a bunch of nuns or did a monster run through this town?
That's it. I'm fucking out of here. He packed up his little briefcase. So now there's only one person left in the town square. And it is a tall, muscular man with dark sunglasses on.
Oh, wow. Is he lurking? Is he lurking if he's in the middle of the town square? Is that still lurking, Vinozing?
I told you, my boy. He's standing in the shade. That doesn't mean he's lurking. He just doesn't want to get tan.
Blade, is that you?
Whose voice?
Remember, you can't voice a race. That's definitely not okay.
Yes, I'm Blade.
Listen, we might need your help. Have you seen a giant were-rat going around murdering people? He's actually a pretty good guy, and we'd like to save him if we can, but if we have to kill him, we will, but we prefer it be us. Listen, Blade, I know you're kind of, you do bigger, cooler things, but it's kind of a big deal for us to get our were-rat friend back.
Oh, you mean this? And he throws up a were-rat head on the top of his little counter.
No!
You're like, oh my god, is that McNibbles? Oh, you monster, Blade.
Wait, is that McNibbles? Can I investigate? Does it actually look like McNibbles?
Oh, wait, hold on. And then Blade pulls out an eye patch and a little pirate hat and he puts it on.
Oh, yes, McNibbles. But how did the eye patch get so big? It's like it grew and he transformed into a werewolf and then the hat got bigger too.
I was going to ask you guys that question. There seems to be some kind of alteration to this creature. He's not a traditional were-rat. Somebody injected him with something to make
That's
him grow
impossible.
Large and menacing.
No, McNibbles wouldn't let anybody but Van Helsing in a... Van Helsing.
So there I was, trying to get a job at the bar, right?
And then he's not even talking to you guys. He's over at the other stand. Trying to talk to the penguin guy leaving.
I know what it's like having a bit of rough luck, and I'm telling you, your day is going to be better. I promise.
Ben, I was like,
oh yes, you need me.
You're not telling me what are you not telling me? Listen, I know you like to lie, you like to exaggerate, but you never keep truths from me. Okay, what did you do to McNibbles? Why? How did McNibbles be? Look at him! And I, like, hold McNibbles' head up.
Oh my god, Van Helsing starts crying.
What did you do? How did he get so big? And how did his hat grow? What did you inject him with?
I'm gonna be 100% honest with you, my boy. I was stopped earlier by two people in dark cloaks. Now, usually I am not one to trust people in darkly colored cloaks.
Yes, what do we say about dark cloak by day? Kill your were-rat by night. We said these things.
Exactly. Yes, I forgot it. It's a tale as old as time, and I forgot it. I can't believe it. You've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times, and I forgot it. You know, I couldn't believe it. But they gave me a kind of viscous liquid that said, if I pour this over my best friend, things will get better.
In that moment, there's a lot of thoughts going through Trevor Belmont. On one hand, he is a little disappointed that you considered Sky Pirate McNibbles his best friend and not, you know, Trevor Belmont, your partner, basically in life. Not in that way, but, you know.
Right, yeah.
But then on the other hand, he's kind of grateful that you didn't turn him into a giant were-rat or whatever, were anything. So he's like, okay, so ignoring the problems created and maybe the deficiencies in our friendship momentarily, what happened when you poured that on Sky Pirate Captain McNibbles?
Instantly, like right the fuck now, His skin started bubbling, and then he grew to an enormous size. Like, he looked like fucking twice the size of Master Splinter. You know, the rat in the tail that taught the turtles.
I told you, stop ingesting the weeds in our yard. I don't know who this wooden rat man is, Splinter. I don't understand. So he got big, he became a were-rat, and you clearly tried to subdue him and stop him.
Correct. He might have smelt blood because it turns out Delge tripped and fell on a bottle before McNibbles went into a blood frenzy.
I want to roll an insight check on that.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll roll a deception against it. Ooh, you might not beat it.
I only got a 12.
I got a 20.
Oh.
18 plus 2.
Oh, damn. Okay. So I think you're telling the truth.
The floors in the Friendly Arrow are horrendously slippery, and he fell in right on his jugular on that bottle.
Wow.
But this is besides the point. Who are these cloaked? Yeah, you've seen it once. You've seen it 1,000 times. Now, who are these cloaked people? That's what I want to know. And then my blade actually steps in at this point, and he says, "This vial, do you still have it?" Well, of course I do. I poured it on him. I got scared, and I immediately thought to myself, Helsing, this vial could be worth some money later, so you better pocket this. It's in my pocket, which are in my pants, which are not here at the moment. Be right back.
I took them off when I was over there talking to the penguin guy.
You had them like laid out, and then you were like leaning on them, like talking with them.
Well, let me tell you about my day, like throwing them over my shoulder and shit. Yeah. So he comes back with the vial. He gives it to you. Belmont.
Okay.
And then if you can roll an Arcana check on it or whatever other kind of check you want on it.
Okay. Yeah, I guess Arcana, medicine, it's all the same for me. It's not bad. It's an 18 total.
Ooh, perfect. You do notice that there are several runes basically etched into the glass of this, and one of them you are very familiar with, and it is the Mark of Jakur.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It is exactly as I feared, Van Helsing. You were fooled. Well, not really fooled. You really just did what they said. Like just verbatim. But these markings, see these? I mean, I don't know all of them, but they're in the books in the Belmont Family Library. They're obviously dark teachings. And there is one specifically. It's basically Dracula's calling card. It looks like a bat with fangs and blood. This is the work of Dracula.
I've seen this before. I've been tracking it for a while. It seems you are extremely lucky that your friend is so slow and did not pour this on you like I'm sure they were intending them to.
Yes, he's
very... Exactly. I'm a genius beyond my time, more than anything, my boy.
Yes, you're a whole lot of something, Van Helsing, and I guess I am grateful. Like, your treachery is always just slightly outside of my reach, but didn't we kill a Dracula back in the day? There was some, but we kind of like crashed somebody's party. I thought we crashed party. Actually, you were invited. It was all a setup. But anyway, didn't we push a handy, capable Dracula down the stairs and kind of that was that?
You two did, in fact, kill that.
See, that's what I thought.
Incarnation of Dracula. But sit down. There's a lot we have to talk about.
And then as you guys sit down outside in the street, he basically explains the whole spiel to you how in our world, Dracula basically lives on a cycle and he will be young and full of life and then grow old and weak and then basically be reincarnated a little bit later and then be back and young and full of life and then just continuing this age cycle.
Well, on that notion, we'd have a lot more time. I mean, it would be a few more decades before he cycled back down to youth. So that doesn't make any sense.
No, absolutely not. You guys killed him in his very weakest state. He died of old age after the first step, and he was dead before he hit the last step. So you guys really just killed an old, weak man.
That was the greatest triumph of my life. I literally, that was the blood oath I gave my family before they're on their dying breaths was to kill Dracula. And I thought I fulfilled my life's mission. Van Helsing did good for once, like ridded the world of the Scourge. You can't tell me that everything we did was literally going to happen moments later on its own, that we were just kind of antagonized. Everybody hated us for weeks. They said, you pushed an old vampire down the stairs and killed him. And he was in a wheelchair, you know. I felt bad about that.
Well, I'm sorry, but you two were invited to the dinner for schmucks, basically, for monsters.
That's how I remember it.
Yes, I recall being invited, but it was a nice dinner, really.
So anyways, well, we're looking at the facts here, and Dracula is coming back, and I have been following these two cloaked jokesters from about three towns now, and they generate a monster. And then move on. It's like they're trying to get people scared again for the rise of Dracula.
You mean Dracula?
No, I mean Dracula.
No, let me tell you, I know fully well that it is Dracula. Back me up on this, my boy.
Yeah, actually, it sounds like total bullshit, but I met him and he actually goes by Dracula. And he also has his cousin Vinny, who sounds absolutely bizarre. Like, he has cotton balls in his mouth and he's Italian, but he's also Transylvanian. It's very odd. Anywho, yeah, it's completely true. I didn't believe it at first either. So, oh, gosh. All right, let's get our head focused. If we didn't do the job the first time, then I still have a blood oath. I have to finish the job. And Van Helsing, that means you've never amounted to anything because that was the only good thing you've ever done. And Blade, well, that's just another notch on your belt. You've really done everything. In fact, I think you've killed him before, actually.
Seven times, in fact.
Yeah, well, who's counting? Not me. Not Van Helsing.
I am. And then Blade, like, lifts up. He's got, like, a little tally mark. Like, tattoos. Like, tallies.
Oh, very nice, very nice. I know someone who got tattooed. He was a criminal. Not saying that you are. Just, you do a lot of lurking. A lot of lurking.
Is that a racial thing?
No, it's not a racial thing. It's just, why don't stand behind things?
You look over and Van Helsing's, like, looking at him, like, giving him a wink, like, yeah, this dude's fucking racist.
Back me up! And I look over at the Penguin guy.
He's like flipping you up, like, I'm fucking out of here.
He's like slowly still just packing up, like, he doesn't have much, but it still is taking him a long time because he knows he has nowhere to go.
I want to picture him having his like suitcase packed up, and then he turned and it dropped and everything fell out on the floor, so he has to pick it all back up again.
Now, if you guys are serious about this, we could team up and try to defeat Dracula together. I have an inn at the next town with the church itself. Things are not looking good. They are more together now than they have ever been. These monsters are uniting.
Holy shit. It's up to me, Van Helsing, and the criminal. I mean, Blade. I don't know how I feel. I mean, we don't need your help. We beat him once. Like, you beat him seven times. Why don't you leave some room for the little guys to have a win for once, you know? Like, how about you just give us the lead and you clean up, make sure the monsters, you know, like, walk backwards. Like, try to help these people recover their lives and we'll take care of the source. There's two of us and only one of you, Blade. Only one of you. No matter how much you lurk, there's just one of you.
Are you serious right now? Well, fine, here. And then he, like, scribbles something down on a piece of paper. And then he hands it to you and he's like, maybe you should check your own library if you don't believe what's at stake here. If you need me, I'll be in the next town. You'll find me at the church. We're preparing our troops there. No, not. I'll see you there, maybe. And he does like a with his sword and like stabs High Pirate Captain McNipples his head. Ooh. And like puts it in a bag.
That was unnecessary, Zoro. Okay. Well, Van Helsing, are you up for another adventure, or the same adventure that we didn't finish?
I am always up for an adventure, my boy. You tell me where to go, and I will get there slowly but surely. I will get there, I promise.
That sounds good. Before we go, should we maybe pay our respects to Sky Pirate Captain McNibbles?
I just want to know what he did with the body. It was a huge body, and all he had was the head. Did he leave it, like, on the playground with Timmy? Like, that's irresponsible.
Just, like, the ball pit again, like, just screaming. Like, everything we lose is always in that ball pit.
The
Penguin's walking home from work. And he has like, that's just fucking great.
Can we just end it there?
Yeah, I
want,
let's do it.
I want the like ending image to be like sad music. Just like every like block, the Penguin's briefcase comes undone. He has to pick up all of his stuff again.
I love it. I fucking love it.
Oh my god, Nate, that was great. Thank you for kicking off the Daft Monks premiere. What can we expect from this adventure? What, for people who don't know the D Hunters, and if they haven't figured it out yet, like what can we expect?
So for people that do know the D Hunters, this one is going to be a little bit different, where we're not going to be all over the place. We are following a storyline, and we are going to keep going, and it's basically going to be a real season of shenanigans from the D Hunters. And for those of you who don't know the D Hunters, we are incompetent, but somehow lucky enough to keep pushing forward, much unlike the Penguin guy.
It's perfect. I think that's great. I look forward to seeing where this goes. Thanks for kicking off season two with me. Thanks for our new listeners. Thanks for our new Patreon subscribers. Thanks for supporting us. And I hope you enjoy the season.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Bye.